Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 55 that Joel read. Psalm 55, and I'd have you turn your attention to the 22nd verse of Psalm 55, where David writes, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, this is your word. You have preserved it for us. It has a meaning and has a purpose for our lives, and we pray that you will help us to understand what you have written. Though it be very clear on the surface, we pray that you would impress it upon our minds, that we would learn how to put it into practice. Lord, help us, we pray, by your Spirit, to do that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I asked Joel to read the whole psalm so that you can grasp something of the gravity and the distress and confidence that David had in God, which is really central to understanding the psalm. The historical setting is somewhat uncertain, although it's possible that during the life of David, Ahithophel's betrayal of David during Absalom's rebellion is somewhat hidden in this psalm. If you look at verses 12, 13, and 14, you see how David says it. He says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng." You almost get this sense of David that somebody close to him, somebody very near to him, somebody who even counseled him, that person had betrayed him. And so many people believe that this is referring to Ahithophel's betrayal of David when Absalom sought to overthrow the kingdom. There's probably nothing so common to the child of God as burdens. We sometimes call them cares, afflictions, whatever. Jesus said, however, "Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you came to the Lord, you may not have realized it, but you accepted that reality, that in your Christian life there were going to be burdens. And so as you go through life, you have to acknowledge and realize that there will be those burdens. But the Lord doesn't leave you to those burdens alone. We know that such burdens and trials are not impersonal or random acts of punishment for the child of God, but they are ordered by the loving hand of a heavenly Father who tells us that whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines. Our text tonight gives us a directive, one that is intended for both our encouragement and comfort in times of affliction. Now, you may be a young person here tonight and you say, "Well, I don't have a whole lot of problems. Mom and Dad take pretty good care of me. And so I don't have a whole lot of afflictions and I don't feel a whole lot of burdens." Well, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, grade school, we had what they called fire drills, right? Fire drills. Now, the parents will remember these, and we practice these fire drills. Maybe in public schools they still have them. I don't know. It's been a long time. But what was the purpose of a fire drill? It was to prepare you in case down the road there was a fire, so you would know what to do. And so tonight God's giving you a word of preparation, young people, for the future, because I can guarantee you, if you become a Christian, you will have burdens. You will have struggles. You will have trials. And so God is saying tonight to you children, remember this, because down the road, you're going to have to learn how to do this. This is a protection for you in the future. And adults, I think it goes without saying, you know how to apply it to yourself. But the command that comes to us in this psalm, in verse 22, from David is, first of all, a command to do something. Now, you children understand what that is when you get a command from your parents. They say, Susie, Eleanor, whoever, I want you to go take out the trash. Or I want you to clean the bathrooms. Or whatever it is that you're commanded to do. So you know that it's an imperative. You have to go and do it. Well, that's what God is giving us here. He's saying, I want you, Christian, to cast your burden on the Lord. Now, that word is a word that has its meaning in to throw something, to fling something. Do you remember in Exodus when Aaron was commanded before Pharaoh, when he was there standing with Moses, and God says to Aaron, I want you to cast down, take your staff, cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. You remember that, children? Okay, took that stick, didn't he? And he did what with it? Did he lightly hand it over to Pharaoh? No. No, he didn't, did he? Did he take the stick and kind of lay it down gently? No. He took the stick and he cast it. Cast it down. Well, that's the word that David is using here when he says, cast your cares. Cast them down. Put them at the feet of the Lord. Get rid of them. Put them where they belong, at the feet of Christ. So he says, take up your burden and cast it down at the feet of Christ. It's not a suggestion. It would be a good idea if you would do that. He didn't say that. It's a word that doesn't mean I want you guys to buckle up and grin and bear it and go through life and carry these burdens yourselves. You know, the world would say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get over it, grow up. It's not what he's saying here. He's saying, get rid of it. Put it somewhere else. And God has directed the best way to deal with burdens. And we must be careful not to be too proud to follow God's directive. Sometimes we think that, well, I can handle it. I just need to buck up and take care of it. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, cast it away and do not pick it up again. How often do we do that? Do we pick it back up again? We pray, we cast it on the Lord, and then a few minutes later, an hour later, a day later, we go back and grab that burden and we put it back here where it doesn't belong. It goes along with 1 Peter that we studied. 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You have a loving Heavenly Father. He cares for you. He'll take that burden. He'll gladly take that burden. Well, what is that burden? What are burdens? Well, burdens are not unique to Christians, by the way. The world has its burdens too, doesn't it? They have burdens in their lives, financial issues they have to carry, college education for their children. They have to carry the burdens of financial management. They have to carry the burdens of raising children and disobedient children, delinquent children, children that get involved in all kinds of things. So the world has its burdens. The difference is they don't have anybody to give them to. They must carry them themselves. But you as a Christian, you have a place to put those burdens. A burden that a Christian has is first of all one that we need to recognize as such. We need to acknowledge what it is, to remember it as a burden. But it's a burden that's been placed there not by accident. You don't carry a burden by accident. Burdens don't come by accident. Burdens come because the Lord, a loving Heavenly Father, has ordained them for you. And He's ordained them for your good. Who's better equipped to handle these burdens than the one who ordained them? What is unique to Christians, as we'll see, is not only the source of those burdens, but the one who resolves and helps carry those burdens. Now, you notice that David does not specify the burden. He doesn't say if it's a heavy burden or a light burden. Now, some people think that we ought not to bother God with small burdens. We should somehow learn to handle those ourselves. But if it's a burden to you, it's a burden that you need to follow in casting upon the Lord. How foolish. God is able to handle all kinds of burdens, heavy burdens, small burdens, any kind of burden. And all people around the world who have burdens who are Christians can lay them at the feet of Christ, and He can handle them. Our God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. There's nothing He cannot do but sin, we know that. But He can do anything. He has shoulders big enough to carry any burden that you have. And so, you cannot distinguish necessarily between big burdens and small burdens. So cast them all, whatever burden they may be, cast them upon the Lord. And because these burdens are your burdens, as he says, cast your burden on the Lord, it does not mean that you cannot bring other people's burdens on their behalf before the Lord. We're commanded in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We imitate Christ in bearing the burdens of one another. It is good to confess our sins one to another. It's good to share our burdens with one another in order that we might pray for one another and help one another through these difficult times. Sometimes it's the false pride that says, well, their burden is so much more than my burden. I can't take the time to take my little burden and cast it upon the Lord. But there's no limit to the number of burdens that God can carry. There's no limit to the shoulders that can bear the burdens of God's people. We're to cast those burdens that we have, whether they're big or they're small. Those concerns that you have, you're to cast them upon the Lord. The Christians have burdens that the world doesn't have as well. Christians desire to live according to God's word and not their own personal interests. And so the issues that we carry as a burden are often of a spiritual nature and importance. We must focus as Christians on what pleases the Lord as commanded in His Word. And when we don't, we find ourselves under this heavy burden of guilt. So what do we do? Do we carry that? Certainly not. The Bible says that we are to confess our sins. But we carry that burden sometimes too long. The world directs its life by a rule of convenience and pleasure. What pleasures me? What is convenient for me? But the Christian rules his life by the Word of God. For instance, maybe it's not convenient, Christian, for you to get up early enough on a Sunday to go to church. But then after a while, a Christian has this sense of guilt when they neglect the gathering together with the saints without justification, and that burden weighs them down. Or maybe that burden of seeing family members saved weighs heavy upon you. The world doesn't care about those things, but you care about them. And they become a burden because they're of a spiritual nature and because you are a child of God and you desire to please your Heavenly Father. Cast those burdens upon the Lord and He will lift you up. Christians are held to a higher standard than the world. The standard of the world is variable. It has a situation type ethic. In other words, my ethics, what I do, the way I respond to situations is determined by the situation. There's no absolute right or wrong, no absolute yes or no. It's just kind of, well, how should I respond in this particular situation? But for Christians, there's absolute right and there's absolute wrong. And absolute wrong brings a sense of guilt and a sense of burden that we oftentimes try to either run from, hide from, ignore. And the reality is God says, cast them. Cast them upon me. There's no need to suffer carrying that burden of guilt. But sometimes we are just too proud, aren't we, to admit that we've fallen again or fallen into that sin. And the Lord is saying, cast that burden on me. The world is pragmatic in its view of life. If it benefits me, they say, I'll do it. If it gets the results I want, I will do it, no matter what other standards may be violated. But the Christian can't take that position. The Christian says, no, God's word has spoken, and I must obey it. And when I don't, I have a sense of that deep burden. Well, those burdens that come upon us, what are we to do with them? David says that we are to cast our burdens upon the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God who loves his people with an everlasting love, who's demonstrated that love as we looked at this morning in Sunday school. He demonstrated that love in offering up his only begotten Son. There are times when we do need to seek the counsel of others in specialized fields when we have certain types of burdens. We know that in the multitude of counselors, the Bible tells us that there is wisdom. So this doesn't mean that you cannot use God's given means to help you work through your burdens. If you have burdens, if you have concerns, if you have cares, then use those God-given means that you have available to you. But do so after you have first cast those burdens upon the Lord. David says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? You have a God who has allowed you, Christian, access into the very throne of grace with open arms extended, inviting you to come to him and cast all of your cares upon him. And it's okay. He can handle no matter whatever burden you have. God is the one that can handle the heaviest of burdens. From the first burden of sin that brings repentance to the final burden of death, God is able to handle them all. Is it that you think at times that maybe your burden, your weight is too hard for the Lord to handle? Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is it? What a question. Obviously not. Are you facing a seemingly impossible situation in your life? Is there an apparently irretrievable breakdown in a relationship? Is there a serious health issue? An almost impossible challenge in your job? Is there a habit or addiction that you're finding hard to break? Whatever challenges you may face, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Takes us back to Abraham and Sarah. Do you remember that situation, children? You remember when God comes to Sarah and Abraham and says, you're going to have a son? And they kind of thought, how can that possibly be? We can't have any children. Look how old we are. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100 years old. They were past the normal years of bearing children. How could that possibly be? Is anything too hard for the Lord, he says? Already very old and past the age of childbearing. In Genesis 18:14 and 11, he says, then nothing is too hard for the Lord. Do not own the stress, Christian, of carrying the burden yourself. You're to cast it upon the Lord. Why are Christians so stressed at times? You ever thought about that? Why are you stressed at times? Could it be that you're carrying the burden that should have been given to the Lord? Now, I realize that we have responsibilities in life. But give your burdens to the Lord while you continue to exercise your responsibility, whatever that might be in the situation. This is a special privilege that you have as a Christian that non-Christians do not possess. Non-Christian, I don't know how they exist. I really don't. How do they handle some of the trials, some of the burdens that come upon them in life? But Christian, you are a child of God. You're an adopted son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who your Father is. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you have access to the Father through Christ. Such is an exercise of faith and dependence to cast it upon the Lord, but cast it upon the Lord you must. The world has no advocate. They have no one to whom they can go, to whom they can plead their case. They will go to all worldly philosophers and doctors and whoever in order to relieve them of their burden. But as a Christian, we have the one sovereign God who can bear that burden along with us. Now, we do have a promising and comforting promise here in our text. David says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Now, we all know how blessed it is to have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can count on, and in times of trouble we can go to and share our burdens with them and know that they'll pray for us and we'll pray for them. But when circumstances seem insurmountable, it's always good to have a brother or sister with whom we can seek help and relief. And it's the duty of believers to help those in Christ whom they can and when they can. We know that to withhold what is needful from a brother who is in need is unbiblical. John tells us in 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't, is what he's saying. So there's ways in which we can help relieve the burdens of one another, and that's good. And although such friends are a great blessing, our text directs us to look to the Lord, who will in fact sustain us. Are you sustained in the midst of your trials? Do you have a sense that God is with you through your trials? Have you committed your way fully to the Lord? Have you completely laid down that burden? Or have you held on to it just a little bit, thinking that, well, I can handle this. I'm okay. I can get through this. Or have you fully given it to the Lord rather than picking it back up? God is faithful, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Friends are a blessing, but the Lord will be the only one to sustain you in your affliction, in your burden. Notice He doesn't say, cast your burdens upon the Lord and He will take them away. He doesn't say that, does He? Why? He simply says, cast your burdens on the Lord and He will sustain you in that burden. David had a thorn in the flesh. God never took that. I mean, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God never took that away, did He? Three times he sought the Lord. The Lord never took it away. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made great, or your strength is made great in weakness. And so we cast that care upon the Lord, acknowledging that He's not necessarily committed to removing that burden. He's committed to carrying that along for you. He's not going to necessarily remove it. Paul had a desire to go to Rome. God didn't permit it. Latimer and Ridley, you remember those two men of the Reformation who died at the stake. Now, they had a burden. No one in this room that I know of has ever been threatened to be burned at stake. Now, if you had that kind of a burden to be burned at the stake alive, you might be tempted to try to do something yourself to get out of it. But the statement they made, I think it was Latimer made to Ridley, is today we shall light a fire in Europe that the world will never be able to put out. And they did. From there, the Reformation began to spread. But they died. Now, the Lord sustained them in the midst of those fires to be able to say that. Could you imagine having that? Being burned alive with that. I mean, I've had a little burn on my finger from the oven or whatever, and you think I'm going to die, right? Ooh, my finger. Kids, you get a little bruise, you know, and you got an owie. You know what an owie is? Yeah. Well, imagine being consumed by the flames of a fire while you're alive. These men did it. They had a heavy burden, but the Lord gave them grace in the midst of it. And God gives you grace in the midst of your burdens. But He will help you carry them. So cast them at His feet. Now, I want to ask you if you really believe that if you cast your burdens on the Lord, He will, in fact, sustain you. Now, I don't ask you if you'll intellectually believe it. I think we all intellectually as Christians believe it. But do we believe it practically? Do we really believe that if we take our burdens and cast them on the Lord, that He will sustain us in them? Or further yet, that He will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken? Do we act and speak as if we believe this? Or are our lives marked by complaining and murmuring against God? I know it's a great temptation to say, God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? There's nothing wrong with asking why, but don't expect that you'll always receive an answer. And don't ask it in a wrong way, like God is unjust in giving me this burden. Everything He does is right. We don't understand it. Sometimes we may not agree. But I think as you look back in your life, as I look back in my life over these many years, and I look at the way God has dealt with me, sometimes I've had some very difficult burdens. I didn't know how to carry them, and I probably carried them the wrong way and didn't cast them as I should, as quickly as I should. But they will come, and you will have burdens, and the Lord is able to sustain you in the midst of them. If we find ourselves not trusting God in the small and large burdens of life, I trust that we will repent and ask forgiveness and ask God to help us to put our faith into practice. That our faith actually shows itself to be at work in the midst of burdens. I entreat you to remember when burdens come. And if you haven't had any yet, I assure you, you most surely will. And that you not wait until you're overwhelmed by the burden, but readily cast that burden upon the Lord. His shoulders are broad. He can carry it. I want to read you in closing the words of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. Notice what Isaiah says. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. What precious words. This is God Almighty talking to you, Christian. Aren't you overwhelmed with that? He says, fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. You think about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, crossing that river that Bunyan talked about. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, Ridley and Latimer, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why? Why? Why will your burdens not carry you down in depression? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So, when you have those burdens, and they will come, first of all, cast them at the feet of the cross, cast them at the feet of Jesus, cast all of your cares upon Him, knowing that He does care for you, and He will sustain you in them. May the Lord help us to do that, to put into practice that which we've read tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. Teach us how to put it into practice. We acknowledge it to be true. We read it, and we know it's true. But yet, Father, oftentimes we rely upon our own creativity and ingenuity. Lord, there's times when we don't run to You first of all. We try to figure out a way to get around it, to get through it ourselves. There are times even when we don't even acknowledge that it's come from Your hand. We think that some evil thing has come upon us, but without Your being aware of it. But You are aware, for You've ordained it. You've purposed it. And You tell us You've purposed it for our good and Your glory. Maybe we don't, our Father, have the right expectations. Maybe our expectations of You are blurred. Help us to realize that You are the Holy One of Israel. You are our Father, our God, who loves us and who will help us and sustain us in the midst of our burdens and trials. And we ask You to help us to do that, Lord. Help us to put these things into practice, to run to You when in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.